I've been thinking a lot lately about how international trade policy and decentralized finance are completely reshaping economic sovereignty in emerging markets. And honestly, Brazil is the perfect case study to understand what's happening.
Absolutely. And right at the center of this shift is Pix, Brazil's flagship instant payment network. It has become the backbone of their financial ecosystem.
It's incredible how accessible it is. Launched by the central bank back in 2020, Pix lets people send money completely free, 24/7, just by using a phone number or an email address. It really democratized everyday finance.
And the scale is staggering. Within just a few years, it was processing hundreds of billions of reais. It completely revolutionized domestic commerce, bill payments, and how small businesses operate.
But here, that's where it gets interesting. Despite that massive domestic success, Pix has actually drawn direct scrutiny from Washington.
That's right. The U.S. recently imposed a 25% tariff on certain Brazilian trade practices, and it explicitly targeted digital payment mechanisms like Pix. It's a pretty direct signal.
It really does mark a huge shift in how we think about trade policy. We're now watching digital financial infrastructure being treated not just as tech, but as a trade commodity and a geopolitical lever. It's a new frontier.
From a policy standpoint, U.S. officials see highly efficient, domestically controlled networks like Pix as potential vulnerabilities. They're concerned about capital mobility, regulatory oversight, and how it might shift global financial influence away from traditional channels.
Exactly. And it's important to note that this tariff isn't just about raising revenue. It's a strategic move to steer financial behavior back toward U.S. dollar clearing systems, maintain control over cross-border capital flows, and keep everything aligned with traditional banking corridors.
And on the ground, that policy shift translates directly into increased compliance requirements and friction for Brazilian merchants and consumers trying to make cross-border digital transactions. It creates real operational hurdles.
But you know, while policymakers are out here debating tariffs and drawing regulatory lines, the market has already moved on. It's already found a workaround.
Precisely. U.S. dollar-pegged stablecoins like USDT and USDC have quietly become the backbone of everyday crypto activity in Brazil. They're filling the gap that traditional systems left behind.
What's really compelling here is that this surge isn't driven by speculation or hype. It's driven by pure, practical necessity.
That's a fair point. Given Brazil's history of currency volatility, inflationary pressures, and banking sector constraints, stablecoins have evolved from a niche asset into an essential utility.
And they deliver exactly what people need: price stability, near-instant settlement, and rock-bottom transaction costs, all without having to navigate the traditional foreign exchange markets.
For freelancers, exporters, and small businesses, they're effectively bridging the gap between local purchasing power and the hard requirements of international trade.
Because they operate on public blockchains, these transactions are transparent, borderless, and they largely bypass all those traditional banking intermediaries. It's incredibly efficient.
In practice, they function as a modern, programmable alternative to holding physical cash. Users can preserve value, pay suppliers, receive international payments, and hedge against local currency devaluation, all in one seamless workflow.
It's a fascinating dynamic, really. The tension between U.S. trade policy and Brazil's rapid stablecoin adoption reveals a core reality of modern finance. Policy can absolutely set the boundaries, but market demand ultimately dictates how people actually behave.
That's exactly how it plays out. When traditional financial channels face regulatory friction or inefficiency, users will naturally migrate to whatever is faster, cheaper, and more resilient. It's just basic economic adaptation.
And I think both sides are finally recognizing that. Regulators are starting to adapt to this new reality.
Brazil has already moved to regulate cryptocurrency exchanges and clarify tax guidelines. They're trying to create a more predictable environment for digital finance to encourage responsible growth.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is still grappling with how to balance innovation with oversight. It's especially tricky now that stablecoins are increasingly functioning as digital proxies for the U.S. dollar itself.
Looking ahead, Brazil's experience really does offer a clear blueprint for other emerging markets navigating this next financial era. It's a masterclass in adaptation.
It really is. Digital infrastructure is completely blurring the lines between traditional banking, cross-border trade, and decentralized networks. We're seeing a new financial architecture emerge.
And the critical takeaway here is that adaptability will define economic resilience. The systems and markets that can pivot quickly will survive and thrive.
Absolutely. Businesses, investors, and consumers who can leverage these digital payment rails, navigate regulatory shifts, and utilize stable assets will be best positioned to thrive in this new landscape.
And policymakers have a responsibility, too. They must carefully balance economic stability with the urgent need to foster innovation, rather than stifle it.
I completely agree. I think the future of global finance will likely feature hybrid models, ones that combine the reliability of traditional systems with the efficiency and accessibility of blockchain technology.
Exactly. Brazil's rapid evolution demonstrates that financial sovereignty in the digital age is no longer just about domestic policy. It's a continuous negotiation between global trade pressures, market-driven innovation, and the practical needs of everyday users. And that's a reality we'll all have to navigate.